Well, it's my pleasure this morning to introduce our guest speaker, David Ellis. I've known David for, oh gosh, since 2001. A great man of God, a fourth generation minister, son of legendary songwriter, preacher, Vep Ellis, who I think I said last week that worked with Oral Roberts, who founded Oral Roberts University. So he's in the Gospel Hall of Fame. Is that right as well? I think your Gospel Music Hall of Fame. He's authored many books. He's pastored all around the United States. He's also a part of the Fellowship Network. He's been a vice president of a couple of different regions. He's married to a beautiful young woman, Wanda, who she was healed of lymphoma, is that right? Or some sort of a cancer, right? Back in 1995. And so what a testimony. And she's a delightful companion with him. She keeps him going straight, and that's really, really good. She's an amazing woman. They have one son whose name is Vep. They have three grandchildren, nine great-grandchildren. And he, I have to say, he's the only guy that I know who can shoot his age in golf. Now, if you're a golfer, you understand that that's a very difficult thing to do. I figure by the time I hit 120, I should be able to accomplish that. So I'm looking forward to the day I turn 120. He is also, David is also a brother of one of our members, Richard Ellis, who's here at Living Faith Fellowship. And they're going to come, and they're actually a very talented family, four brothers involved. We have two of them here today. But they have sung across the United States, very, very talented. They're going to sing one of their dad's song, My God Can Do Anything. So please welcome David and Richard Ellis.
Well, I hope all that was true. I've been knowing Pastor Phil since I was his age. That's a frightening thing. So when you've known me as long as I've known you this time, you're going to be my age. Ain't that wonderful? God is so good to us. What a joy it is to be in this part of the country. My brother Richard here, he married a girl from LaSalle, Washington. We didn't know where that was. And he moved out here, and they had a son, and he moved to Pullman, Washington, Evan Ellis. And who in the world knew where Pullman was? And, you know, as life goes along, if you're blessed, you'll find out a whole lot of things you didn't know when you thought you knew it all. So it's a joy for us to be with you here today. And we leave in the morning, go back to Oklahoma. And next Sunday, I'll be preaching in South Georgia, so it'll be a little bit warmer down there. The song that Richard and I are going to sing, this is the first time, like, it's dawned on me, this is the first time in our lives we've ever sung a duet together. It may be the last as well. But we're going to also use a soundtrack to our CD, which has the other two guys on it, so we're going to all be together. But our father, Vep Ellis, wrote over 500 Southern gospel songs back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. He was, in our opinion, the greatest songwriter that ever wrote a gospel song. And every song has a story, and I want to share with you briefly the story behind this song. My dad was preaching in a church in Cincinnati, Ohio, and back in those days, in the 50s, our churches, we had Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Wednesday service, Friday service, and then we had revivals that went at least 1 week, sometimes two, and sometimes it went on and on. So we spent our time in church. But Sunday mornings were kind of a high church. It was more programmed, and you went to church, you was out by 12, and that was the end of it. And on a Saturday night, Dad was praying about the Sunday morning service, and as he was praying, he heard himself ask the Lord for 50 souls to be in the altar on Sunday morning. And as soon as he said it, he said, no, I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't mean that. He said, you didn't ask that. I asked for 50 souls. And Dad told me, he said, it was one of the most sleepless nights he had ever spent wondering about 50 souls on Sunday morning. Sunday morning came, he preached his message and gave the invitation, and people started coming forward and kneeling in the altar. And there were 35 and then 40 and 45, and finally there was 49. And all of a sudden, two men stood up, one over here and one over there. And my dad's first thought was, oh, no, we got too many. And this man made it all the way, but the one over here, he didn't make it all the way to the altar. He fell on his knees in the middle of the aisle and accepted Jesus Christ back there. So that song, this song was written because of that. 50 souls being saved on Sunday morning. Well, the next day, Dad and Mother were driving back from Cincinnati, Ohio, to Cleveland, Tennessee, where we lived. And Dad was just thinking about the miracle of that. And he looked over to my mother and he said, you know what, Pat? If God can save 50 souls on Sunday morning, my God can do anything. And that's how this song came to be written. My God can do anything, anything, anything. My God can do anything. He made this earth with all its fullness and all that time shall bring. My God. My God controls the wind and weather. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He holds the universe together. With love he roots his great domain. He understands each little heartache. He even knows the pain you bear. And he will never get too busy to give an answer to your prayer. My God can do anything, anything, anything. My God can do anything. He made this earth with all its fullness. All that time shall bring, my God can do anything.
He made the fish that swim the ocean. He gave the nightingale its song. He gave a mother true devotion to teach her children right from wrong. He put the fragrance in the flowers, made the sparkling waters fall, formed the heavens by his power.
The mighty God has made it all. My God can do this earth with all its fullness and all that time shall bring. My God can do anything.
My God can do anything. Anything, yes, anything. My God.
Amen.
Thank you, Richard, for humbling yourself to sing with your older brother. Richard has sung with the Metropolitan Opera. He's an opera singer. He's the only one of our family who had trained. I mean, he was trained. The rest of us, we just learned whatever we learned and got along. But God has blessed us, and we're so grateful for his blessings upon us. Again, it's a joy to be here with all of you who are here in the sanctuary, and those of you who are here with us online, and those of you who sent your spirit with us today. Over my years of pastoring, I've had so many people say, well, Pastor, I can't be there Sunday, but I'll have my spirit there. Well, it's kind of hard to see your spirit. Better to look at you. You look better. For the last 14 years, Wanda and I have been traveling across the country as an encourager to pastors and churches. And I've learned that if anybody really needs some encouragements, it's the church. It's the pastors. But I got to tell you something, folks. We're living in a state of confusion right now. Nobody knows exactly what's going to go on or what's going to happen, but he does. And I'm going to tell you, the church is going to come out of this stronger than it was when it went in it. There's going to be a greater anointing on the church when we come out than there is now. So lift up your heads, rejoice, because there are better days ahead. Hallelujah. The church shall rise. I don't know what level we were on, but we're going to be higher when we come out of here. One of the things that I have learned in my lifetime, one of the things that I've learned in my lifetime, is that I wish I was as smart as I thought I was when I started. And I wish that somehow the Lord would help me go back to some of the things that I said and did when in my younger pastoral years. It's because I like to apologize to some of the people for some of the things that I said. But I have learned some things, and one of the things that I have learned and has become so precious to me is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want to share with you this morning about what I see as three levels of anointing. There may be more, I don't know, but I've learned about three levels of anointing. And I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, and I want to read a couple of verses. These verses are kind of like the Lord's inaugural speech. He goes to the temple. The priest gives him the word of God, and Jesus stands and he reads and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now that doesn't mean those that don't have money. That means those who have lost hope. They're poor in spirit. "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind," not the physically blind, but the spiritually blind, "and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And the Lord was announcing at that moment, this is who I am, and this is why I am here. My Father has sent me here for this purpose, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And in John 20, 21, 22, Jesus was speaking to the disciples, and he said unto them, "Peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so I'm sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now this is what he said, "As my Father sent me, I'm sending you. For the same purpose which my Father sent me, I'm sending you." And we've got to realize, folks, that in this daytime, in all the confusion that's going on around the world and right here in your community, you still have the same purpose on your life that Jesus Christ had on his. Not only that, he said, "The same Holy Spirit that dwells in me shall dwell in you." Not a duplicate, not a clone, not one similar. But thank God, the same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus is the one who anoints me and you. Praise the Lord. I was awakened in the middle of the night a couple of years ago. And the Lord does, He relates to us on our level of understanding. And when I woke up, I saw a blackboard. Now, some of you young folks don't know what a blackboard is. You got marker boards, but back in our days, we had blackboards, chalkboards, and we had to clean the chalk off and all that. And the Lord, for my sake, was writing on this blackboard, and He was writing, and this is what He wrote. Too many churches are praying for survival when they should be praying for revival. And then He went a little bit further to me, and He said, if they are in revival, they don't have to worry about survival. And I want to tell you, folks, the Almighty God did not send us to this planet to survive. He sent us here to thrive, to be alive, and to be a light unto the world. And we can't be a light unto the world if we're feeling sorry for ourselves and think the world's picking on us. Come on, the world has always picked on us. But greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. So come on, let's cheer up and be happy about this whole relationship. Now, we who are brilliant, we may be able to build a building like this. This is beautiful. We may be able to work programs and go to seminars and learn how to do different things. But only He can build the church. We may build a crowd. We may build a building. But He said, I will build my church. We speak the word, but the Holy Spirit anoints and directs the word. And one of the most interesting things I've learned about preaching is that I can preach to a congregation and some of the things I say goes right over some people's head. Because evidently the Lord didn't direct it and anoint it for that person. But somebody in the congregation, somewhere out there online, the Lord will take what I say this morning and He will anoint it and He will direct it to somebody for a purpose and for a reason. I can't do that, but He can. And He can do it for you as well. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, or literally he cannot comprehend the kingdom of God. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, he wanted to understand the kingdom of God before he got into it. I want to understand about being born again before I'm born again. And the Lord said, you can't comprehend it until you experience it. And then when you experience it by faith, then you understand it, and then you see it. You can't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit because you've learned how to do it. You receive it by faith. You can't be anointed because you know how to be anointed. You act, and the anointing comes upon you. Here's a scripture that I didn't... one of the scriptures that for years I didn't have an answer for. Matthew 22:14. Many are called, but few are chosen. And I'd have people ask me what that meant, and I always had an answer. I don't know what the answers were, but it was dumb. Because I really didn't understand it. Many are called and few are chosen. And I was praying about this one day, and the Lord gave me a revelation. I guess I finally got to where He could reveal it to me. And I don't know if there's anybody in this community that relates to football or not. Is anybody here that watches football or, you know, so you have some comprehension of football? Well, this is what the Lord showed me. I remember when I was in high school, back in those days, we had an intercom system. And one day, the principal announced on the intercom, all of you boys who want to play football this year, meet at the football field immediately after school. Many are called. But not all called showed up at the football field. And not all those who showed up at the football field were chosen. But many were called. And here's what you have to do to be chosen. See, to become born again, you got to first of all confess you're a sinner. Then you got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, and you got to be born again. Well, all these boys showed up with the football field. I wasn't one of them because I was in the band, and I never did get to where I liked pain too well, so I just stayed in the band. But when they got to the football field, there was some criteria that had to be followed. So this is what I remember happening from what I was told. There's 35 or 40 boys out there on the football field, and the football coach said, all right, boys, you can't smoke or drink. Well, some of the boys left because they weren't going to quit smoking and drinking, not for football. So they left. Then he said, now you're going to have to show up at school at 7 o'clock every morning before school starts for practice. I'm not getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to do that. So some more left. Then he said, you're going to have to stay after school and you're going to have to practice. So some more left. Then he said, you're going to have to do what I tell you to do. I'm the coach. You can't do what you want to do. You got to do what I tell you to do. And some more left. So to be on the team, you've got to make some changes. You got to come to practice. And to be on God's team, many are called, few are chosen. To be on God's team, you've got to be willing to obey the rules of the team. You've got to pay attention to the coach. You have to agree to show up for practice, which is what we're doing today. We're showing up for practice. And you've got to realize that you're not the only person on the team. There's a whole bunch of guys with you, and you cannot be the only one on the team. We're a team. So when all that was said and done, the coach chose his team. Many were called, but few were chosen. Those who have never experienced the first level of the anointing don't really understand it, what it's like. The world cannot comprehend the kingdom of God. You must be born again. And in the Old Testament, when the Lord chose someone to be king, priest, or whatever their chosen position was, they were anointed with oil, symbol of the Holy Spirit, and they didn't dab it on them, they poured it on them. Took a bottle and poured it on them. All they were baptized with the oil. And they were anointed for a purpose. When we are born again and we come out of the world and we become a part of the kingdom of God, we become anointed vessels. So our first anointing is that anointing that comes when we are born again, we become a child of God, and we have the same purpose that Jesus had when he came. So he said, I'm going to anoint you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our first level of anointing. We may never, and some of the boys who went out for football never experienced the second level because they never got on the football field. In order to experience the second level of anointing, you've got to take action on what the Lord has told you to do. You don't wait until you know how to witness. You just witness. And as you obey the Lord, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If you don't ever do that, then you never experience that second level. But as you begin doing what the Lord has told you to do, the anointing will come upon you and you will experience yourself and find yourself saying things that you didn't really understand yourself, doing things you didn't know you could do, because not only are you an anointed vessel, but now you are anointed vessel. Because you're being obedient to what you're being told to do. I believe in preparing yourself for whatever you do. If you're a musician, I believe in preparing yourself. If you're a teacher, I believe in preparing yourself. Study the word. If you're a preacher, I believe in preparing yourself. If you're on the praise team, you practice and you prepare yourself. But when it comes time to do what you're supposed to do, you don't worry about all you've been thinking about and practicing. It should by this time be in you. And your only concern when you start to perform and do what you've been preparing to do is to do what you prepared to do. And let the anointing bring to you what you need to be reminded of so that you can do what you've been told to do. That's the second level of anointing. Now, to me, this is just my way of identifying myself. Teaching the Word of God is primarily making contact with the intellect so that those being taught may learn the Word of God. Preaching is making contact with the soul so that we as individuals may be able to make a contact between what we've learned to what we're doing. We learn to apply the Word of God. I'll give you an example of how things come along. In the last few years, lawyers, attorneys, politicians, they've tried their best to take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses and out of the Congress, and they want to get rid of those Ten Commandments. Well, the reason for it is because they're not a part of the kingdom, they're a part of the world. And so when the lawyer and his client goes to the courtroom, they look upon the wall and it says, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." Then it says, "Thou shalt not steal." Well, the guy's been charged for stealing. And it says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." And they know they're going to be lying in the next few minutes. So they don't really want those Ten Commandments up there because those Ten Commandments make them feel guilty. You see, the Word of God will make you feel guilty, but the Holy Spirit will convict you to where you want to change from your guilt to what you won't be guilty anymore. I cannot convict you. I may make you feel guilty. I may read a scripture that you don't like, but the word itself will make you feel guilty. But the Holy Spirit takes the words that we read or hear and speak and brings about conviction, which brings us to Jesus Christ, which is the purpose for it all in the first place. So when the praise and worship team comes up here, don't practice up here. Now it's time to worship the Lord and let all that come together and be a part of what you're doing. The next level of anointing is, to me, the most precious and most exciting, and it's what we call the unction. And the unction of the Holy Spirit, the anointing, comes at the discretion of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we choose to do, nor when we want to do it. It's what God does when He's got something He wants to say or do. The unction overrides our intellect and our talent and our abilities. Now, too often we think that, too many people think the anointing and even the unction is only available to those who are preachers or pastors or evangelists, those who are at the top. Now, let me tell you something. Every army has to have leadership. Well, in the army of the Lord, we don't have generals and lieutenants, but we do have pastors and apostles, prophets and evangelists and teachers and so on, who are our leaders. But the anointing and even the unction is available to all who obey God in the anointing and do what they're told to do. You may be in the hospital visiting somebody as a child of God, and you're visiting the sick, and you pray with them, and when you start praying, the anointing will come upon you, and it's possible for even the unction to come upon you and find yourself praying for people to be healed, and them being healed, and you realize it was not you, you were just there to visit the sick. But God's got a purpose for everything, and He's going to work it through us if we'll just let Him. The unction is when the Holy Spirit has something that He wants to say or do through us. And I have experienced that. The first time it happened to me, I was pastoring, Juan and I were pastoring our first church in El Paso, Texas, and I'm 22 or 23 years old, and one Sunday night I was preaching, man, however good a 22-year-old could preach, man, I was just preaching away. And all of a sudden, I felt something strange happen to me. And it was almost like I stepped out of myself, and I'm looking at myself, and I'm hearing myself saying things, doing things, and I'm like, what is going on? And then I heard myself quote some scripture I never heard of. Scared me half out of my wits. Because I said, my Lord, what have I done if I've made up a scripture? I mean, a lot of people do, but I didn't want to do it. And I couldn't wait to get through with that sermon. And I wanted people to leave. We lived in the back of the church. And as soon as everybody left, I went in our little living room there and I got my Bible and I started searching. Yay, I found it. It really was a scripture. But I didn't know it. But He knew it. This is how the word of knowledge works. We don't know what He knows, but if He wants us to tell something, He works through us to reveal what He already knows for somebody to experience what He wants them to experience. The gift of healing is not something we do, it's something He does through us. And when preachers are preaching, and sometimes we're preaching better than we're capable of preaching, we know it's not. That's because it's Him preaching through us. The unction is precious. I wish that every time I open my mouth, I receive the unction, because it's just a glorious moment. I want to try to use the same analogy with football as I did a while ago, except take it a little bit further. The football team comes to school, they practice, the coach has got plays, and they run through plays, and they practice, and they drill, and they do laps, and they do all this stuff, and they work, and they work, and they work, and they practice, and practice, and they're dead, they're tired, they're wore out. But everything they do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is for that Friday night game, for the purpose of beating that other team. And folks, we're on a team, and we want to beat that other team out yonder. We want to win over the devil. How many of you want to win over the devil? I want to beat the devil out of the devil. And everything we do is practice, so that when we get in the game of life, we can be victorious over the devil. So the coach creates plays, and they run through drills, and they run through this practice, and they do all this stuff. Then comes Friday night. The football team goes to the gym, and they put on their uniform. They look good. The stands are beginning to feel, and they go out on the field, and they stand there, and they play the national anthem, and the adrenaline starts to flow, and everybody's excited, and the cheerleaders are cheering, the crowd's yelling, the band's playing, and it just keeps building and building and building. And as soon as the national anthem ends and everybody cheers, then the football team runs out on the field, and they get ready, and they get in their position. This team and that team over there, and that team over there has got the ball, and they're going to kick the ball down here to this guy, and he's standing there, and his knees are knocking, and he's got this anticipation. This game's about to start. We got to win. And then suddenly the whistle blows, and the ball is kicked, and it comes into his hand. He doesn't think any more about what he practiced last week. Doesn't even cross his mind about what the coach said last week. Suddenly the adrenaline takes over. I got the ball. I got to run. And he runs as hard as he can, and bam, gets tackled. They line up again. The quarterback snaps, gets the ball, and hands it off to the running back. And the running back runs against the line, and they tackle him and stop him dead in his tracks. Coach sends in a passing play. The receiver runs out. He throws a pass. He drops it. Throws this one over here. Now it's fourth down. They got to kick the ball. The other team kicks. They play ball. And now we get the ball back. And again, they're not thinking, because they're playing ball. All the rehearsal's just been done. Now it's a part. Listen to me. It's a part of them now. Everything the coach said, every play they ran, it's now a part of them. And so they get the ball again. The coach calls the play, says, give it to Billy, the running back. Give it to him again. And they give the ball to Billy, and suddenly he hits that line, and he runs right through that line, and he gains 10 yards. And the coach says, give Billy the ball again. And he gives Billy the ball again, and he runs to another spot, and he picks up 5 yards. Give Billy the ball again. And this is what they say about that. The coach says, Billy is in the zone. And as long as he's in the zone, give Billy the ball. And sometimes when the unction comes upon us, it's like being in the zone. We are doing things we are incapable of doing. We don't even know how we do it. But, oh, give me the ball. I'm ready to run. Oh, I wish we could stay in the zone the whole time, but we can't. But that third level of anointing cannot be experienced if you don't obey and go do what God's told you to do in the first place. I want to give you some examples of what I see from natural life and from the Bible about times that I think the unction took place. When David faced Goliath, David had killed a bear and a lion and done many wonderful things with his slingshot. Probably knocked pine cones out of the pine tree, but he was pretty good. But he had never faced an armored man, was a moving object, who only had one spot to hit. But David did what he knew he could do, and the anointing took over for the rest. Goliath fell not because David was a good shot, but because of the anointing of Almighty God that put that stone exactly where it had to be. See, sometimes when we humans do something that turned out to be good, we kind of get the idea, that's pretty good. I've got news for you, and I have been there. When I thought, man, I finally got this thing figured out. And the next time I preached, I wish I'd stayed home. Because it wasn't me any longer. I remember one Sunday morning, the last church I pastored was Allentown, Pennsylvania. My son was a minister of music, and the choir sang a new song that morning, and I said, sing it again. So the choir, the place was filled with the presence of God. It was just one of those moments. And I knew what was going to happen as sure as the world. Next Sunday, the choir said, Pastor Vep, let's sing that this Sunday. And he said, okay. They sang the same song, the same people, the next Sunday. And when they got through, everybody said, are you done? Nothing happened. Because it wasn't about the choir. It wasn't even about the song. It was about the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. When Elijah stood on Mount Carmel, after the 500 prophets of Baal had been praying all day long for fire to come down on their altar, it came Elijah's turn. He was a little bit weird. He poured 12 barrels of water on the sacrifice just to make sure it worked. And after they poured the water on the sacrifice, Elijah stood up there and said, oh, Lord God of heaven, they may know that you are who you are and I am who I am. Send fire down from heaven. I'm going to tell you, it wasn't Elijah. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that brought the fire down upon the altar. It wasn't the brilliance of Moses that led the children of Israel out. It was the anointing. When he stretched that rod, it wasn't the rod. It wasn't Moses. It was the anointing of Almighty God that parted the waters. It wasn't the rod that hit the rock that brought the water. It was the anointing. It was the unction of the Holy Spirit. I believe that Peter, who just a few days before denied that he even knew who Jesus Christ was, but on the day of Pentecost, he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he came down on that upper room, and he stood up out there, and he began preaching under the anointing, and somewhere the unction took over, and 3,000 souls accepted Jesus Christ that day. He couldn't do that every day, but when the Holy Spirit is there to help you do it, you can get things done, can't be done any other way. I think Stephen, when he was being stoned, they were throwing rocks at him and they were hitting him to try to kill him, and they killed him. And while the stones are hitting him, and let me tell you, you get hit by a stone, it's going to hurt. And it wasn't just one stone, it was stones pelting him. And suddenly Stephen said, hey, look, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. Look there what it is. Folks, that was an unction of the Holy Spirit that came upon him that dulled the pain because he saw Jesus that overrode all the pain that he was experiencing. I read something just a few days ago that just thrilled me. I have no idea where it took place because it did not give the details. But there was a young boy, got either on a bus or a subway, and while he was sitting in his seat, the Lord spoke to him and said, stand up and say, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare yourself, for the Lord Jesus is coming soon. And so the little boy jumped up and said, prepare yourself, Jesus is coming soon. And a man was sitting on the bus with his little boy, and he said, sit down, shut up, I don't believe in your God. And the little boy sat back down in his seat. And he sat in his seat for a while, and the Spirit of the Lord began dealing with him and said, stand up and do it again. And that little boy stood up and said, prepare yourselves, for Jesus is coming soon. And the man said, I told you to sit down and shut up. I don't believe in your God. And his little son said, Daddy, leave him alone. He's a servant of God. And the man fell on his face in front of that little boy that stood up and started sobbing. He said, my son is deaf and dumb. Those were the first words he's ever spoken. Hallelujah. Now that little boy that heard the Lord say, stand up and say, Jesus is coming soon. He didn't know why he was doing it. He didn't know the little boy was deaf and dumb. But Almighty God knew it. And Almighty God had something he wanted to do for that little boy. And God healed that little boy because that other little boy was obedient. Oh, God, touch our lives so that we will, first of all, get into the kingdom of God, realize that we have been anointed and chosen and called. Second of all, start doing what he's called us to do. And then pray for the anointing and wait for the unction to come upon us. Father, we stand in here in your house and in your presence. And I feel your presence right now, Lord. I feel that precious anointing. But Lord, there is a world out there that needs to know what we need, what we know. They need to experience what we have and are experiencing. They need to feel what we feel when you are within us and working through us. And Lord, we know factually the only hope for this world is not education, it's not politics, it's not wealth, it's Jesus Christ. I'm grateful, Lord, and I'm honored that you chose me and you told me I want you to do what my father's sent me to do. I'm going to point you to do the same thing. And I thank you for that, Father. I pray your blessings upon this pastor and this staff and this church. That when all of this confusion is over, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will be so strong on this hillside that people who drive down the streets will be compelled to come in and find out what's going on. And that they will come to know you. And that they will go out and they'll tell somebody else. And they'll bring somebody else. And they'll go tell somebody and they'll bring somebody. Lord, it's exciting to know that something wonderful is about to happen through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful I'm here to see it and experience it. Bless this church. Bless this pastor. Bless those, Lord, who have been watching today online. May the Holy Spirit flood the internet. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Let's sing this whole chorus together.